Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. Today we have a few visitors with us. We extend a very special welcome to you. Want to thank those of you that attended the hot dog cookout fellowship over at Oakey Boulevard yesterday. We had a great time. We had a real nice representation of South Valley over there. It was a great event for the congregations to get together and fellowship each other, and hopefully other events like that will happen throughout the valley in the coming future. Have a couple of prayer requests that we need to address before we get started with our lesson. Trisha's requested prayers for her Aunt Karen. She's going to be having major surgery. It's a planned surgery tomorrow, and prays for a speedy recovery. And also Joyce Croxon, who has been home sick recently with COVID. She's feeling better, but still coughing and has some fatigue, which is kind of expected. We need to keep her in our prayers. Let's before we get into our lesson, let's go to God in prayer on behalf of these. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for any sins that we have in our lives that we don't want anything standing between you and our prayers to you. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with Trisha's Aunt Karen. Please comfort her. I'm sure there's some sort of anxiety there before such a major surgery. We ask that you be with the doctors. We're thankful that she lives in the time and place that she does, that we've got the best medical care, the best knowledge that we've ever had right now. And we ask that you comfort her in their recovery, and that the doctors will be successful in what they need to do. Dear God, we ask that you continue to be with Joyce as she's recovering from COVID. Please help the medicines and so forth and her rest. Let her recuperate and get back to her old self before long. Dear God, we hope that everything done in our worship this morning so far to you has been acceptable, pleasing, and has been done in spirit and in truth. Continue to be with us, hear us, and be glorified by the things that we do for you. We pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. We're going to get into our lesson this morning. The title is, "But God Meant It for Good." You know, we go through a lot of things in our lives that we think is the end of the world. And sometimes it may be a major issue. You know, the breakup with a boyfriend or girlfriend. That just, I tell you, you think that's the end of the world at that time. The loss of a job. You know, a move. Even a good move is stressful. You know, even if you're going to someplace bigger, better, that you wanted, it is stressful. There's anxiety there. The problem with a congregation, maybe going through a church split. We had talked recently, you know, I think it was last Wednesday, about how some church splits are actually for the good. To cut out unscriptural teaching, to cut out the cancer of a congregation. People may go through financial hardships in life, and at the time you wonder, where is the next rent payment coming from? You may go through a health scare. You get a report from a doctor that such and such needs to be done. At that time, It just seems like you're surrounded by woe, danger, anxiety. It's not the experience that we go through. Being a Christian does not put a force field around us. It is not a safe home base type situation. It's not the experience. It's an opportunity for us to grow and mature. We've used a phrase before that the same event can be either a stepping stone or a stumbling block, depending on how we look at it. It's the attitude of which we go through something. A few scriptures come to mind. We look at Romans 5, where Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, and in chapter 5, starting in verse 3, he says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations." We glory in tribulations? That's a little hard to do sometimes. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. A lot of times we stop with the tribulation, thinking that that's the end result. And if we allow it to, these other building blocks can be there. James says almost the same thing in James 1. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." James, did you write that the way you wanted to? Are you sure you got that right? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He goes on to explain why. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's where the end result comes, if we allow that to happen. I want to tell you and show you a little story real quick that puts this into perspective. It was about a man named Alan Chick. He looks like just a baby, which a lot of those young men that went off to World War II did. He was a soldier from Australia, and he fought in World War II. He was captured by the Japanese in one of the battles, was doing his duty, and was captured. So far, it ain't looking very good. The ship that he was on the way to Japan as a POW was sunk. So not only is he a prisoner, the ship he's on was sunk by an Allied submarine. He was one of 212 survivors. He was picked up by a second ship. It was sunk. The survivors of that ship was picked up by a third Japanese ship, and it made its way to Japan. So here is a man that has been captured in warfare, is a POW, and has survived two sinkings in the Pacific Ocean. He's placed in a POW camp. The statistics in World War II, if you were captured by the Japanese, you had a 40% chance of dying. The mistreatment was horrible. Horrible. Many of the Japanese leaders faced war crime trials at the end of World War II for their treatment of civilians, of POWs. It was atrocious. The camp he was placed in was in a city called Nagasaki. That was the site of the second atomic blast. He was one of 12 of the POWs that survived the blast. Count it joy when you fall into various trials, James said. This man, Alan Chick, had more than his plate, was running over with trials. He returned to Japan after the war as part of the Allied peacekeeping forces, the occupation forces. It was there, in Japan, that he met and married his wife, who was a Japanese nurse. And they were happily married for over 60 years until his death just 8 years ago. He lived well into his 90s, and he would have not met the love of his life had all of those things not occurred. Count it joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials. I don't think a person lives out these verses better than Joseph in the Bible. Joseph had the attitude. You never see him sitting down, moaning his fate, sitting down in the middle of work, in the road. No one likes me. Everybody hates me. I just want to eat worms. That attitude. I'm throwing a pity party. Everybody's invited. You don't see Joseph doing that. He was hated by his brothers. Hated by his brothers. Now, I never had a brother. I had some friends that we were as close as brothers. But I've heard brothers sometimes, fuss and fight. Do brothers ever fuss and fight with each other? I've heard that. But when you get down to it, they're brothers and they love each other. He was hated by his own brothers. In Genesis 37, we see, now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near, they conspired against him to kill him. They just did not like him. He's not just the younger brother that's annoying, embarrassing them when they're wanting to go out on dates. They wanted to kill the young man. They then sold him into slavery. My sister did a few bad things to me growing up. She threw away some of my toys. Some of my favorite toys. Broke some of my favorite toys. But she didn't sell me into slavery. Genesis 37. Then many night traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up. They put him in a pit. They pulled him up out of the pit and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. He was bought by Potiphar, a man named Potiphar, who found favor with him. In verse 4 of Genesis 39, if you wanted to read verses 1 through 6 later on to yourself. In verse 4 it says, so Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put under his authority. All of those bad things that happened to Joseph, it's kind of turning out pretty good. Then he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. This is a good lesson in and of itself. Just because you're one of God's people doesn't mean bad things ain't going to happen to you. He did absolutely nothing wrong and still suffered because of it. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she says, lie with me. But he refused. He could have probably gotten away with it. But he refused to sin. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph, day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left the garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. This is a good lesson all by itself. Sometimes you just may have to run from sin. And you may be almost surrounded by it. You may just have to, there's no saving face sometimes. You may be ridiculed. You may lose a friend in the process, but you may have to flee sin. Make no calm exit, just run to keep from sinning. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of the house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us," talking about Potiphar. "He came into me to lie with me. And he cried out with a loud voice. And I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." She's fabricating this whole thing. Joseph's in a rough situation. So it was, when his master heard these words, which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," his anger was aroused. "I trusted you, Joseph. I put you in command of everything in my house. I turned my back, and my wife says you did this. And you know he didn't. He did everything in his power not to." So Potiphar put him into prison. What's that old Frank Sinatra song? "Riding high in April, shot down in May." He's put into prison. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. Cream rises, or that's all, what I've always heard. Cream rises to the top. He rose in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And he wound up finding favor with Pharaoh, the king, the top dog in Egypt. He found favor with Pharaoh. "You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." It doesn't say, but I bet you Joseph probably said, "Hey, Pharaoh, just don't leave me alone with any, with your wives, okay? Just, things are going good. Just don't leave me alone with anybody." He gets to be reunited with his brothers. Because of the position he has been put in, he is able to be reunited and save his family. Save his people. Save the line that the Savior would come from. Because of this, strange things happen. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. It was just their jaws were dropped. Oh man, We had sold him, and now we are at his mercy. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near me. So they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother. I remember whom you sold into Egypt. I remember this. Remember, guys? When I was the little guy, you sold me into slavery. What's the purpose of it all? How do we wrap this all together? As he said, you know, the moral of the story. Paul Harvey used to say, and the rest of the story. In Genesis 45, and God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. And then here was our scripture reading that Dick read earlier. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day. All of those things that have happened in my life has got me to where I am now. It was a matter of, Joseph could have very easily, this person did this to me. My brothers did this. Potiphar's wife did this to me. Pass me another servant of worms. He could have very easily done that. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And it kind of brings it all together, what Paul wrote in Romans 8. Paul wrote to the Romans, he says, and we know that all things work together for good. He doesn't say all things are good. Everything that happens, Romans, are good. He doesn't say that. We're going to face trials. We're going to face tribulations. Being a Christian is not like you're wearing a coat and nothing is going to hit you. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We have been called for His purpose. It's an attitude. Joseph was a wonderful example of that. As we're going into this next week, if you get through the week without any hiccups, without any little road bumps, any potholes in your life, great. I'm happy for you. Chances are, we won't. Seems like each week, isn't it, Brother Ken, we hit a little road bump someplace. Let's use it as a stepping stone to something better rather than a stumbling block to blame God. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, repenting of sins, prayers, if you've been looking for a church home, have visited maybe some other congregations of the Lord's church and would like to worship and work with us, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, please come forward, let your needs be known. We'll address those while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.